Hello, welcome. Actually, had Factor 9213 Nigeria in phone here in Bunhaka. Time dialed 9 minutes going past 4 p.m. and the conversation continues. Many thanks for staying tuned. And at the moment, we're discussing controversies surrounding the judiciary in Nigeria. Does the Nigerian judiciary still offer any hope, either for the common man or the not so common man? Is what's being discussed right now. Now, here's a story. CJN's resignation. Public confidence in judiciary at all-time low, says NBA. Olumide Akpata, president of the Nigeria Bar Association, says public confidence in the judiciary is currently at an all-time low. Now, he spoke in his reaction to the resignation of Ibrahim Mohammed as CJN. Although he was said to have resigned on the grounds of ill health, 14 justices of the Supreme Court had accused the CJN of abandoning his responsibility as the leader of the court. Now, Olukayode Ariwoola has been sworn in as acting CJN by the president. In a statement, Akpata thanked the CJN for his services to the nation and prayed for his quick recovery. Now, here's a bit of Olumide Akpata's statement. In the course of previous publications and communications, I have consistently appreciated the outgoing Chief Justice of Nigeria for the cordial working relationship between the bar and the bench under our respective administrations. I must do so again today as he bows out. It is, however, impossible to consider his lordship's retirement in isolation of the recent unprecedented development at the Supreme Court, where 14 justices of the court censure the outgoing Chief Justice of Nigeria over his lordship's handling of the welfare and related issues. Beyond this, there is a near universal agreement and public confidence in the judiciary, and indeed the legal profession is at an all-time low. I'm asking you right now, what level of confidence do you have in the Nigerian judiciary? Join the conversation. We're live on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Search for Nigeria Info PH. WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. The phone lines will be open shortly. But my guest, for the moment, he'll be in the studio shortly, but for now, joins me via phone. Barrister Richard Wokocha is an associate professor of public law at the River State University. Barrister Wokocha, you're welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you, Dario, and good evening, Nigerians.
Let's start with the comments credited to your president, the NBA president, Olumide Akpata, about confidence in the judiciary being at an all-time low. I'm asking you now, from your standpoint, from your perspective, I imagine you have conversed, you hold opinions as a lawyer of many years' reckoning, I might add. You also have interacted with your colleagues in the profession. You no doubt may have received opinions from even those outside of your profession as well, who may be close to you. What is the level of confidence in the judiciary at the moment, within the judiciary and outside of the judiciary as well?
Well, first, the development we are facing, the circumstance we are facing, is one that is, one can say, abnormal or unusual. We have had complaints about the judiciary, but not at the level and at the point where we are hearing of it now, which is at the echelon, at the very apex of the judicial system. It will definitely undermine confidence of the average litigant or average citizen in the judiciary. The judiciary is a powerful organ that has no physical power, but its integrity is what makes it more powerful than all the other arms. And that is what makes every other arm and every other authority bow to the judiciary. That it is the mouthpiece of the Constitution, and that it enjoys the respect that the Constitution enjoys. It's based on the fact that it is above board and it has a level of integrity that is not that of the politician, that is not found in the other arm of government. So if you have a situation where the integrity of administrators of the court or heads of court are called to question, especially at the appellate court, the first damage it does is that it creates in the mind of the public the impression that, normal business can go on here, rogering can go on here. They have the capacity. That is what did not exist before. They have the capacity to mismanage, to maladminister, and to pocket money. They have the capacity to engage in corruption. So it certainly undermines the confidence of the average citizen in our Supreme Court, and by extension, the entire judiciary, since the Supreme Court is the head and the apex of the judiciary.
Well, pardon me for the next question I'm going to ask you. The now former CJN resigned his position, supposedly on health grounds, even though there's speculation is rife that may not entirely be the case, that maybe he does have certain health grounds on which he might resign, but that his resignation is also the result of the controversy surrounding the Supreme Court recently with the leaked memo of the 14 Supreme Court justices to him, his response to that, and allegations of impropriety whilst he held that office. How is the former CJN's resignation affecting the judiciary itself at this time?
How is the
former CJN's resignation affecting the judiciary right now? And I'm talking specifically within the judiciary itself.
Well, there is a little positive note to it. But even that positive note is incomplete. That positive note would have been fully there if he had said that I'm resigning because of the question that my integrity has been called to. I will want this matter properly investigated because I believe I did nothing wrong. That would have been honorable withdrawal or honorable resignation to enable a thorough investigation. But resigning on health grounds, which was not a problem before this issue came up, does not do much in terms of the positive effect that the resignation should have had. The fact that it's on health grounds and not on the grounds of the issues that are existing right now in public domain, but some violence to the positivity that resignation would have brought. But most importantly, nobody was asking for the health of the CJN to be improved. Nobody was asking for how the CJN has fared and all that. We are concerned with how our court has been managed, and the justices of the Supreme Court were concerned with how the court was being managed. I think you recall not too long ago, about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, when Justice Ndieko retired, she did point out that there was need to conduct an inquiry into how the courts are being run, because more money is being voted in the budget, but less is coming to the justices, meaning that even what they enjoyed in the past was no longer coming. When on the contrary, their access to funds and the means of working was supposed to increase in proportion with the increment in the vote for the judiciary. So it's a judiciary problem, and a problem with how public money has been spent in that side. Health and the well-being of the CJN, retired CJN, notwithstanding, properties and proper diagnosis and medication should be given to the judicial system, even as the law himself.
Now, even though the CJN has resigned its position, there are not a few persons or even groups of persons who believe that the last should not have been heard of the former CJN or whatever may have transpired or led to his resignation. Here is one piece from the Punch newspaper. Resignation not enough. Horiwa calls for ex-CJN's arrest. Civil Rights Advocacy Group, Human Rights Writers Association of Nigeria, Horiwa, has stated that the resignation of Justice Tanko Muhammad as CJN is not enough. It calls for Muhammad's arrest. Also, another piece here from the Punch. Supreme Court crisis. NBA wants ex-CJN probed. Ariwoola sworn in, workers demand autonomy. A few hours after resigning from office, senior advocates of Nigeria, lawyers, civil rights groups, and some branches of the Nigeria Bar Association on Monday called for the probe of the erstwhile CJN Ibrahim Muhammad. Now, what is in the best interest of the judiciary, the Nigerian judiciary, and by extension, the Nigerian nation, both at home and perception overseas, abroad and overseas? What is in our best interest right now? An investigation of the former CJN I don't know for certain what might be uncovered. If something is uncovered, might lead to an arrest, might lead to prosecution. Maybe nothing is uncovered and nothing happens eventually. But what do you suppose is in the best interest of the nation right now? Let sleeping dogs lie, let bygones be bygones, let shake and be friends and simply move on, or an investigation of the ex-CJN of his affairs while he was in office? Yes, did you get my question?
Yeah, what do we do in the situation whether we select and just move on?
Yeah, what is in the best interest of the country right now?
Yes. The best interest of the country demands that the complaint of the Supreme Court justice be looked into. We need to find out where our money is. That the CJN has resigned does not mean that everything has come back. The judges, the justices of the Supreme Court still need to work. The court needs to function. We need to locate our money. We need to locate where our money is. What has happened to it? How much of it has been spent? How much is left? And what do we do to ensure that the court can function at optimum level, notwithstanding who the Chief Justice of the nation is that is presiding? So an investigation must be carried out. It's not an investigation on the person of the Lord Sanko Mohammed. No. It's an investigation on the faults of the Supreme Court of Nigeria, how it has been administered and what has happened to it, in order for us to know what to do to be able to avoid getting into the kind of assets we are falling into at the moment. But an investigation is absolutely necessary, notwithstanding resignation.
But will that really serve the interest of Nigeria? Now, especially speaking of perception overseas, you have all of these allegations coming out that, I mean, the Chief Justice, like you rightly mentioned at the start of this conversation, the position of Chief Justice of Nigeria is, or even the judiciary in general, is a highly revered one. One that, even though politicians and those who occupy elected positions are expected to be of very high moral standing, but a lot more is expected of members of the judiciary, especially people who hold positions in the Supreme Court, and let alone that of the CJN. An accusation of this magnitude and the possibility that there might be some case against him, when we hear reports like this, and for example, the Accountant General as well, said to have made away with 90 million or God knows how much. The figures keep rising almost on a daily basis. Doesn't this send a wrong messaging to the outside world and the Committee of Nations? Wouldn't that make Nigeria the jest of other nations in the Committee of Nations?
No, I don't think it will. On the contrary, what we create that impression is that we do nothing. Every nation sets in motion the office of the Accountant General and every other accounting process and auditing process. The idea is not that people will not do what is wrong or what is not correct, but that the system is ready to checkmate the occurrence of that. And checkmating that includes ensuring that those who handle public funds account for how the funds were handled. As I have said, I would like to say it's an investigation of the Lord Tanku. It's an investigation of how the Supreme Court administration has handled its funds within this period, and with a view to recovering what is left of it and ensuring that the maladministration or the hardship that has been foisted on the court and its justice in recent times does not occur again ever. So the world will not ask you if at the end of the day you use the Nigerian expression, you put it under the carpet, and it will be a demonstration of the fact that you are a corrupt nation. But if you ask questions, locate where it is, and get the right thing done, recover what needs to be done and correct what needs to be corrected, you enjoy the respect of every nation. So doing nothing will indeed resonate with the general impression that Nigeria is a fantastically corrupt country. All you have to do is resign when you are caught. But ensuring that the proper thing is done, after all, somebody will say that the It's entirely in the pocket of the Lord Sanko Mohammed. At the moment, it's entirely in his pocket. It could be that he did not feel the need to do what needed to be done. He did not apply enough where they were needed for
please hold that thought. We must go for commercial break right now. Return in a moment. Conversation will continue. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Hard Facts Nigeria Info here in Port Harcourt. I'm Dial. We've got 29 minutes to go before 5 o'clock. A conversation continues and the matter at hand remains the same. CJN resignation, public confidence in judiciary at an all-time low, says NBA, and that's according to the NBA president himself, Olumide Akpata. There are other persons who are asking that the resignation of the former CJN is not enough. He should be probed. Investigations be carried out. Some are even asking for his arrest. Some branches of the NBA across the country are echoing similar sentiment as well, that they want a proper investigation carried out. And it's not enough at the former CJN has resigned his position. My guest joins me in the studio right now, Barrister Richard Wokocha, is an associate professor of public law at the Rivers State University, former chairman of Nigeria Bar Association, Amok Branch. Barrister Wokocha, you're welcome.
Thank you again, Dio.
So, you were responding to a question before I had to go on that break.
Yes,
and that is about...
You were asking if it's enough, or we should just move on, or we need to do something.
And whether or not this paints the picture in the back, because it's not possible for us to have an investigation of a former CJN and a possible trial as well without the rest of the world reporting on this.
That would be jumping the gun. First thing is to investigate what has happened to our funds. After all, it may not necessarily follow that anybody stole our money. It may be a function of an administrator not knowing that, look, certain modern things are necessary for the functioning of the court. And so the money may be there, but they were not deployed in securing what needed to be secured. So it's only when you conduct an investigation into how the place has been run within the period under question that you will know what was voted, what was spent, and where the rest are. And for what was spent, what they were spent on, all of this will become clear by the time investigation is conducted. So it will not be safe to even cast any aspersion on him. It may simply be a matter of inability to understand what is important and what needs to be funded.
But there is the potential, there is the possibility, no matter how slim it may be, that investigations will unravel mismanagement of funds and a possible trial.
That's why I say we need not to jump the gun. It's only when you investigate that you will find whether money meant for the running of Supreme Court was misapplied to any place.
No, my point is this, Barrister. If there is that potential, that possibility, once again, no matter how slim it is, that there will be uncovered mismanagement.
Certainly.
Should we then bother with investigating? Because an unraveling of mismanagement will lead to a trial, which will be reported.
It is more dangerous for you to get away with the impression that anybody can take anything and just resign when he is caught. Resigning when you are caught is not a punishment. Neither is it a response to the fact of wrongdoing. While it's not safe to accuse anybody of wrongdoing now, if investigation reveals that our money is in the accounts of Milord, former CJN, we will go for our money. If it reveals that it's in the hands of, in the account of his child, or part of it was transferred to his friend, or was transferred into building a personal house, we will recover our money and ploy it back to running our Supreme Court so that our Supreme Court can function effectively.
Now, let's speak to the judiciary itself. Once again, the NBA president has said that confidence in the judiciary is at an all-time low at the moment. And I don't think that I personally don't think that this situation with the current Supreme Court justices and the media past CJN is what led to that. Maybe it's a major part of that low ebb in confidence right now. But it's been a consistent narrative for some time right now, even before now. What would you say is the biggest problem with the judiciary in Nigeria that's led us even to this point at this time?
You know, last time we had this conversation on this subject before the resignation of Milord, the CJN.
The former CJN?
Yes, yes. I pointed out that with what has happened, something has happened that has never happened before. Yes, we know that we have issues with funds for running the judiciary. We have heard of such things. We have heard of courts operating at very difficult conditions at the states and even some of the federal high courts and all that. But for the first time, the Nigerian citizen is getting to understand that there is some level of wrongdoing at the apex court. And this is coming from, not from some activist, not from some social critic or something. This is coming from all the justices of the court saying the needful is not being done, saying we have tried to make you do what needs to be done. They were not saying the money is not there. They were saying what needs to be done is not being done, and our work cannot get done under this condition. You remember the catchy phrase they used, that telling them that the most generator will be on and will go off at 4 o'clock means they must all shut down at 4 o'clock. If provision for functioning of the court is not guaranteed for the court premises, is it the one for their house that is guaranteed? Because they had complained that the same things are also lacking at home. Access to internet, diesel and other accessories they are supposed to have to enable them work or carry out their functions are lacking at home and lacking at the office. And they particularly decried the idea that the office must shut down at 4 o'clock, which is the only option they have to their home. The Supreme Court Justice cannot carry his work to the Central Library in Abuja to go and write his judgment. So, for the first time, we are experiencing this shocking idea of the Supreme Court almost shutting down because it's unable to operate, because something is wrong between money that is voted and facilities with which the justices are supposed to function. So, it's a first-timer. And it won't be wrong to say that it's the lowest ebb we have reached. And in our last conversation, I told you we are on the ground. There is no more space behind or below to go. We are already at the end of the road. And the only thing to do is find out what we have to do to get back up.
I watched an interview on the national TV station this morning. And a senior advocate of Nigeria was being interviewed or a senior lawyer was being interviewed on this matter. And he will say the problem is not the retired CJN or any one person for that matter. The problem is the system. According to him, the system is designed, is rigged to work this way. And he referenced the CJN before Tanko Muhammad Onoghen, who he reminded was removed under very strange, uncommon, unusual, seeming unusual circumstances, but had allegations levied against him. And the moment he resigned from office, those allegations or reasons for his removal or forced removal from office appeared to just fizzle away. They just disappeared, became obliterated, evaporated, more or less. And he's convinced that with Justice Tanko, a similar thing might happen as well. And that the system is just that way. And he doesn't believe that even with the resignation of Justice Tanko, there's going to be any change per se. Maybe with administration, maybe diesel will not be provided, maybe internet will not be provided, so that other justices do not write another letter tomorrow that they're still having diesel problems and internet problems, which is what may have forced Justice Tanko out of office. But that the problem, the melee with the judiciary in Nigeria that has reached even as high as the Supreme Court, will not go away because the system has been designed to function that way. What's your take on that?
I don't agree with him completely. It's more to me like comparing oranges and onions. they are not the same thing. The traverse of Mr. Justice Onogen had nothing to do with administration of the court, funding of the court, or utilization of the funds of the court. It had to do with something personal, non-declaration of assets, insufficient declaration of assets, not adding things that should be added to declaration of assets. It was entirely about his personal conduct. It had nothing to do with his administration of the court. We have always had invalidatory sessions. Retiring justices talk of the need to increase funding for the judiciary. That we had always had. Perhaps we have never had enough funds for the judges to say, look, it's okay, we're all right now. We've never had that. But what is different this time is that we are having a problem with how what is voted is being applied. As I said earlier, retiring Justice Ejembi Eko first echoed this, that look, there is something wrong. Vote to the judiciary is increasing. But what comes down to the average justice of the court is not increasing. There is something going wrong in the middle. And I said, we need to look within to find what the problem is. So Mr. Onogen's case was entirely different. It was about his management of his personal affairs that contravened the law and the attempt to implement the law that had been contravened by his personal affairs. That was what happened in his case. This one simply has to do not with how Mr. Tanko is managing his reportage of assets and all that, but how he is managing the court. This is an administrative problem. It raises just two questions. The question of integrity or want of it, and the question of maladministration or inability to administer. Mr. Tanko himself did not say we did not have money. He said, I did this, I did that, I did this. He didn't say it was absence of money. The justices did not complain that the Supreme Court is not receiving enough money to do what needs to be done. They were talking of non-provision of what is supposed to be provided. And before they could have done that, there are things that were used to be provided in the past, things that are provided for funding-wise, that are no longer coming from the administrator. That's why they wrote to him and they asked him to address it. They didn't ask him to cry to the president or go to the National Assembly to complain that we are not getting enough money. No. So this is strictly a function of inefficient administration or misapplication of funds already voted for use by the Supreme Court. So there are different things altogether.
That may very well be the case. But there is also a lingering perception, which I think you identified that earlier on as well, that the judiciary for quite some time right now, leading up to this very unfortunate series of incidents, has not entirely lived up to the standing of being, for example, the last above the common man, of ensuring justice, equity, fairness. Lady Justice has been accused many times in Nigeria of sometimes removing that blindfold to see the parties
standing. To see
who has
before it.
To stand in before it, you know, and that may determine how justice is served. Accusations of bribery, of judges at different levels and all of that. And considering what's happening right now, who's to say, I even believe that some of these things may not have crept even as high up as the Supreme Court as well, because there are questions being asked about the Supreme Court now also. Now, that said, is there any hope of bringing back that confidence in the judiciary? Is there any chance that we can sanitize the judiciary and make it once again that light, that glimmer of hope in what appears to be a world filled with darkness, where the average common man in Nigeria can believe that, worst case scenario, the judiciary will be there for me and I will get justice? And if that's possible, what steps need to be done to bring about that reform?
I think the clear answer is that it is possible. Things went wrong. Things have not died. The judiciary has not died. A few years ago, an American president brought to the office of the president of the United States of America to a level that cast doubt on the seriousness of America as a nation with its long history. But that perception is gone now. Under the current president, those conducts or misconducts, including attempting to commit a crime, to create an insurrection and to overturn an election, and all of that perception is gone. So these two can go away if we do the right thing. And what is the right thing? Start with deciding or finding what went wrong, making it public, and taking steps to ensure that it never happens again. And then those who are coming after me, Lord Justice Tanko, to ensure that in a transparent manner, things are done at the Supreme Court the way they are supposed to be done. And everybody will get back to the realization that, oh, Mr. ABC, who was running the Supreme Court, was wrong. So we will resolve that conflict and decide that the problem was with Mr. ABC, who was running the Supreme Court, and not the Supreme Court system itself. After all, the justices have spoken out, which also indicates that they are not in agreement with whatever was happening. So it will be easy to correct that perception if we make sure that we do not do the usual Nigerian thing of sweeping on tie under carpet or away from carpet, and that we investigate thoroughly and make public our findings and ensure that appropriate follow-up steps are taken. The public will again have his confidence reposed in the judiciary, especially at the Supreme Court level.
But once again, the erosion of the confidence in the judiciary is not just or strictly about the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, for many Nigerians, if not even most, they haven't really concerned. They may not have concerned themselves much with what transpired at the Supreme Court, having had not much of a knowledge.
I was answering the question with respect to the issue we are discussing now. The one you are talking about is a completely different kettle of fish. A whole lot needs to be done in the judiciary. There are fantastic justices and judges in our court system, and I have said this over and over. But unfortunately, there are also persons who have no business being judges who are there. Now, we know that our recruitment process is faulty, very, very faulty. And that's how we've gotten to where we are. That's how we have cascaded from the court that featured the kind of gentlemen we had, who we are revered all over Africa, even around the world, justices of our Supreme Court, to where we are now, where you have justices admitting I received money from a party appearing before me, but it did not influence my judgment. That kind of deterioration shows clearly that, yes, there is something systemic seriously wrong. Because the very idea of even the thought of it could not have occurred to the Nigerian judiciary in the 60s or in the early 70s to mid 70s, if not right through the 70s to the mid 80s. The thought alone could not have occurred to a judicial officer. So we have a completely different thing there. We have a whole lot to do. I don't know whether you need to remove them, those who are already there, or you need to reform the system in a way that will make it difficult for them to carry on with the activities, because there are many, with the activities that we are talking about. Or you need to improve their condition and start a whole new training on that area that will get their mind out of the circumstance under which they enter, because some appear to have been specifically appointed to do specific job, and they are doing that. And when judgments come from those places, even the average Nigerian who is not the person directly affected by the judgment says, this cannot be the hope of the common man, the last hope of the common man. So we have a lot of work to do when you're talking of reforming the judiciary to regain the confidence that the nation should have in its judiciary. And I say this because the judiciary is not like any other part of government. Judiciary is extremely sensitively special and should not experience what is experiencing in Nigeria. It is part of the science of a failing state that will have what is going on in the judiciary. Going on, and people are getting away with it.
You talked about recruitment. What is wrong with the recruitment process of judges in the country?
In the past, the best materials around were recommended by justices. Justices who were not acting out of the need to ensure that my parapo is present, my area, that we have more people in the court than other people. Oh, I have an interest, somebody I need to bring in so that we can have more justices from our place. We had a professionally focused judiciary where judges who we are dealing with the aspirants, not you don't even call them aspirants because they don't aspire. They get invited to come to the bench by those who are in position to assess them, who have experienced them, and who have seen that they have the capacity, they know the law, and they have the capacity to do what needs to be done. They recommend such people, and they are invited to come to the bench. The situation is completely different now. It won't be, I don't mean any disrespect, but it won't be out of place to say that our current experience has almost turned that sensitive part to a place to get job for the boys. So admission into the judiciary today is not as it was in the past. And it's more now like a committee of friends and persons who have people there who can do something about it. So it's no longer quality driven. It's no longer driven by the consideration of looking for the best in the bar to elevate them to the bench where they should supervise the bar.
So if this friends and family members and village meeting association members occupy these positions already, it's quite natural that they want to maintain that status quo.
Of course.
What hope is there then that this change that you speak of can be effected?
It means we need to do something about how we recruit. To start with, you know, I have in the past complained about the composition of the NJC, that it is more like a committee of friends of the Chief Justice of Nigeria. Now, if we want to get a professional NJC, a professional regulatory body, we need to start by reforming how we compose the National Judicial Council. Instead of persons appointed by the Chief Justice, appointed by five Chief Judges of State, appointed by the Chief Justice, and all that, we need to do something more professional. If you're going to have members representing the bar, there should be members representing the bar, not members appointed from the bar by the CJN. Because if you bring together a committee of friends of mine, where I am presiding, it becomes a clearinghouse for my interests and the interests of those who can cause their interest to affect my interest. So first, correct that one. Amend the law. Let the persons to be appointed from the bar come from the bar. Let the professional organization, Nigerian Bar Association, produce those people. If there are people to come from the inner bar, that is senior advocates of Nigeria, let the association of senior advocates or the body of senior advocates of Nigeria elect or nominate the persons who are going to represent them at that place, so that they can choose those who have, for whom they have the greatest respect and whom they believe at that moment have the highest level of integrity to do what needs to be done in that place. So first, depersonalize the NJC and create a justice sector-based NJC that is out to do business, official business. That done, look at the possibility of going back to sourcing for candidates according to their performance, their level of integrity and their performance. Eventually, candidates' names are sent back to the bar and the relevant places for comments and inputs concerning their nomination. But that is not enough. Let the nomination come from those who are in position to assess them and not from Oga sending somebody's name to be appointed.
I was going to ask you about autonomy as well of the judiciary, which has been a recurring decimal as far as conversations about the judiciary is concerned, but we're out of time right now. Many thanks for joining in, especially thanks to my guest, Barrister Richard Okocha, once again, Associate Professor of Public Law at the River State University. Barrister Okocha, many thanks for your time.